I think we've got it now. Good morning. Happy New Year. We're glad that each of you are here this morning, and thank you to those of you joining us online, either listening or watching. As most of you are well aware, we normally go verse by verse through a passage, and we're going to return to Revelation next week, but a few times a year, we break away from that to do something topical, or in this case today, talking through philosophy, talking through a vision for 2022. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little nervous about sharing a vision for 2022, because in our living room at our house 2 years ago, we had a vision for 2020. And nobody knew what 2020 was going to look like, because within 2 months, all of that was out the window for pretty much any church who thought they had any goals or plans for the year because of COVID-19. So we don't know what tomorrow holds, and we don't know what this year holds. But if the Lord tarries, I believe he has good things in store for us, and I have goals for us as a church, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Did anybody catch what our verse of the month is? It's in your bulletin. You can cheat. That's okay. What verse did we quote together a few minutes ago? Matthew 6:33. And that says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God. Whose kingdom are we supposed to seek? Whose? God's. We're supposed to seek God's kingdom. So as I share with you what I envision for Living Word Bible Church this year, it's not about me, and it's not even just about our church. It's about the kingdom at large. It is about God's church, the universal church. And this is how I envision it looking here. But we rejoice in other churches in the area and around the world that believe the gospel and that teach and preach God's word and are like-minded with us. We want them to succeed in whatever God is leading them to do this year. So within the context of a kingdom mindset, I want to share some information with you about our church, goals for us to pursue, a vision for us to pursue as we pursue God's kingdom here in Leland, North Carolina. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I saw a pastor friend post on social media this week asking how you would describe the church in one verse or one passage. This is the best one that I know of to describe the church, to describe what I believe the church is supposed to be and what the church is supposed to do. So I'm going to read through these six verses, and I'd like you to have your scriptures open because I'm going to ask you some questions as we go through it. The verses are on the screen behind me, but either in your lap or on the screen behind me, follow along so that you can answer the questions. It starts off, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." He himself, who do you think that is? That's Jesus, yes. He himself, Jesus, gave, and it lists four groups of people. Those are the leaders of the church. So it's answering the question who or maybe what, because they're titles of people. Verse 12 tells us why. Why did he give those gifts? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So New King James has edifying. What does that word mean? It means building up, thank you. And your translation may say that. So why did he give leaders to the church? The answer is to equip and build up the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. My job description as an elder of this church is to equip you, to give you tools so that you can do the work of the ministry. Because yes, I'm supposed to be doing the work of the ministry, but I can't do the work of the ministry by myself. God didn't design it that way. He designed for all of us to work together as a body, as a church, to accomplish what he's called us to do. So notice those phrases, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13 tells us how long? Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's verse 13. How long? Till we become mature, till we grow up in Christ. I'm looking at some young people in the room. I'm so glad you guys are in here today. Thank you. You are growing. Some of you are growing really fast right now. We hit growth spurts. We see you grow out of your clothes or your shoes or whatever. We're all supposed to be growing. Now, as adults, we should stop growing. Hopefully, we don't keep growing forever. But spiritually, we should continue growing as long as we're here on earth. And that's how long the church should be functioning this way, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. How long should we do that? Until each one of us becomes spiritually mature. That's what the passage says. Now, there are some phrases Paul uses, and we're not going verse by verse or phrase by phrase per se today, but there are some different ways he's describing that maturity, growing up in Christ. Verse 14 takes us back to the idea of why. Why does this take place? Why are we growing up? Why is the church working to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry? So that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Again, multiple phrases there, and sometime we'll go through every one of them. But for right now, the idea is that we would be stable, that we would be grounded in the Word of God, that we would be grounded on who is the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ himself. So not being confused or led astray, not putting up with false teaching, but grounded in the Word, that's why we're supposed to be growing up, becoming complete, becoming mature. Verse 15 gives the contrast. So not being carried about with every wind of doctrine, not being tricked by cunning craftiness, but here's the contrast, here's another what. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up, there it is again, in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. He is the head of the church. This is his church. I like it when I hear you all say, I invited someone to my church or tell somebody about my church. I like that. But you understand, I trust, that it is not your church and it is not my church. It is Christ's church. He is the head. This is his idea, the whole idea of a church. Speaking the truth in love, that's what we're supposed to do. What is the truth? Overall, at the end of the day, the Word of God is truth. And so what we speak should be in alignment with the Word of God. Speaking the truth, how? In love, that's its own sermon. It's not enough just to lay the law down, but we're supposed to do it in love. Why? We love because he first loved us. We speak truth in love because he did that. Jesus didn't have a lot of kind words to say to the hypocrites of his day, the religious leaders, the people who wanted their own form of righteousness, but he had so many words of compassion. He had compassion on the multitude. He had compassion on the individuals who needed healing, who needed to be rescued from demon possession. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom, verse 16 goes on, the whole body, talking about the church again, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So there they both are one more time. Growth, growing up, and building up. Growing up and building up. Two ideas, easy ideas, that keep getting repeated in this section. Every part does its share. So if you're trying to key into, well, what's he talking about? What do you mean, the church? If you mark in your Bible, back in verse 12, you can underline or somehow mark the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And then in verse 16, underline every part does its share. Same idea. That we are all working together. And I am thrilled to death with what God is doing in our church right now. Many of you are involved in many ways of serving one another, encouraging one another. We've had babies born, and we've had sicknesses and surgeries, and you all have been, you ladies I'm thinking of right now, have been so quick to offer to provide meals and to check on people. And some of you men have put chairs together or moved furniture for people, and all the different ways that you have been serving and loving one another. That is a beautiful thing to watch. It is a beautiful thing to have a part in. And I thank you and thank the Lord for you in doing that. So, by way of review, a couple of questions. I want to make sure we understand. Whose church is this? Christ's. That's from verse 15. And who will cause our local body, Living Word Bible Church, to grow? That, again, is Christ. That's verses 15 and 16. A parallel passage would be over in Acts chapter 2, where it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." He's the one who adds. And he has added by his grace each year in our 7 years of existence. There have been more people coming and people being added to our church. And thankfully, people being saved and added to the universal church and uniting with our body. How does he choose to grow his church? Each of the parts working together because he has given leaders to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Yes? Is that clear enough? That's verses 11 and 12 where we started. So I have my part to do in equipping you, and you have your part to do in doing the work of the ministry. That's pretty simple, right? I realize it takes shape differently. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different schedules. But we're all supposed to be doing the work of the ministry together. And I love to see you all serving together. Another thought that comes to mind is last month at the Anchorage, a bunch of you came and we served, and lots of us raked leaves, but we raked leaves for Jesus. And that's the idea, that we're fellowshipping together. We are serving others in humility, and that is a beautiful thing to behold. That was the inspired part. What I am sharing with you is what I have thought through and prayed through, but the rest of what I'm saying is not inspired. You got that? Let's be clear. What is the three-word mission statement of our church? Learn, grow, share. Great. Let's say it a second time with enthusiasm.
Learn, grow, share.
Thank you. Good. How can we do our part of learn, grow, share as God gives us grace, as he strengthens us to do that work? And I'd like you to take your bulletin. And you have a couple of inserts in the bulletin today. I'd like you to find the one that just has a few words, two lists. It looks kind of like what's on the screen right now. Find that, and I'd like you to refer to that for the rest of what I'm going to do during this time. So on the left side, I have those three words, learn, grow, share. And there's overlap in these. Like I said, they're not inspired. I prayed about it 8 years ago when I decided that was going to be our mission, our three-part mission. But there's a lot of overlap, and we're going to talk about that today. Then the right column are some, for lack of a better word, spiritual disciplines, some things that we do in our Christian life as we learn, grow, and share. I'm going to talk about each of those. There are seven there, depending on how you count them. You could get eight if you want to. The number's not important. But we're going to talk about these over the next 10 minutes or so. And these are the spiritual disciplines I would like to emphasize for us as we learn, grow, and share this year. So first, it's not going to be any surprise to you. First one there is Bible reading. As a matter of fact, Brian, that'll be great. Bible reading. We can interact with God's Word. Usually I give you five different ways. You call them out to me. How can we interact with God's Word? By reading God's Word. That's one. By memorizing it. By meditating on it. Meditate means to think about over and over. Praying is very good, and that's going to fit in with what we're doing on Tuesday nights this month with praying God's Word, worship-based prayer. Listening to it. Sharing it. So I'm going to put those as extra ones over here. We have praying it and sharing it. That's good. I have one more on this hand, though. I don't think anybody said studying. Obvious, but those are the different ways we can interact with God's Word. How are you going to interact with God's Word this year? On your own, on a daily basis. And a great way to do that is a Bible reading plan. Last year, I picked one that we were all going to do together as a church, and we do that every 2 or 3 years. I encourage you, read something. Read a plan. Most of us do better if it's structured. Some of you just, okay, I'm going to read Hosea 5 today. That's fine. It's all inspired. It's all good. But usually we do better with structure. So I encourage you, use the Bible app, which is what you're looking at a screenshot of. They have lots of plans. Read the New Testament in a year. Read an individual book. And that's what I personally am working on right now. I'm going to study some books of the Bible. I'm in the Old Testament right now. And slow down more than going all through it. There's not a right way or wrong way to do it. Pray about it and do whatever God leads you to do. How many of you have already picked, you have something you're planning to do right now? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. If you have questions about it, see me. If you have the Bible app, lots of options there. And when I say reading, that's obvious. Studying it would be going a little bit more in depth. Listening to it. Many of the translations on the Bible app and other apps, they'll read the Bible to you. Or you can listen to a sermon. So that's what I mean by listening. And then memorizing. When was the last time you tried to memorize a verse? If you don't already know Matthew 6:33, start there. That's what we're working on together as a congregation this month. Matthew 6:33. And then meditating. It means I'm going to think about it over and over. I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to read it in another translation. I'm going to find out what the Greek words mean. Think about it at lunchtime. Think about it later in the day. Think about it on Thursday. Different ways that we can interact with God's word. Prayer. Just about everything I'm going to say on that list of seven involves prayer in some way. If nothing more than pray about what you're going to do regarding this. But prayer. What is prayer? Talking to God. I'm not trying to make this hard today, guys. Participate with me. Talking to God. We can talk to God anytime, anywhere, out loud or silently. And he intends for us to do that. Those of you who are married, do you talk to your spouse every day? If not, then you can get with me, we'll have a different conversation. You should be communicating with your spouse on a regular basis. And God wants to hear from us. He has spoken to us. We have his word. And reading is like the listening part of the conversation. And praying is talking to him. It's the talking part of the conversation. How can you pray for our church? Well, please pray for me. I need it. I hope you pray for me. Pray for our other elders, Barry, Dan, John. Pray for Mr. McCluskey over there. Pray for Phil. He's our deacon. Pray for our missionaries. That's what I was grabbing here. You say, I don't know who our missionaries are. He talked about them today. Their photos are on the back of this same sheet that many of you got a few weeks ago. If you don't have this, there are copies out on the table. Pray for one another in this room. You say, well, I don't know everybody. Everybody in this room at the moment is on this sheet. If I spelled your name wrong, please tell me. But all the names are there, and the children are listed in birth order, so you can kind of figure out, oh, this is their youngest, this is their oldest, to help us know one another and pray for one another. I mentioned this a few weeks ago in a different context, but you can pray with somebody over the phone. You can pray with somebody in person. You can pray for, just pray. Most of us, if we're honest, struggle in our prayer life. It's not what we want it to be. And that's where this book comes in. Tuesday nights this month, we're going to be going through this book. This is not inspired, but it has a lot of scripture in it, and that's inspired. And it gives us tools and ideas about how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. You have a Bible. You're welcome to this book. There are other copies over there, and we're going to talk about it. What do I do? Some of you, it would scare you to death to think of praying for 5 minutes straight on your own. And that's okay. But we can learn that. And maybe someday 5 minutes will seem short for you to pray. But we're all trying to learn or grow in these spiritual disciplines and then share them with others once we've learned them. What about making disciples? The Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, going, therefore, make disciples of all nations. What's a disciple? I don't want to take these terms for granted. What's a disciple? A follower or student or learner. Those ideas are all wrapped up in that disciple term. And so we're supposed to make disciples. Make disciples of whom? I'm not trying to trick you. Of Jesus, of Christ. Make disciples of Christ. How do we do that? By sharing what we have learned. So how do we go about that? How are we making disciples? It doesn't have to be a formal process. As you have a conversation with somebody before church or after church, and you're talking, and some spiritual content comes up in the conversation, and you're saying, oh, I'll pray with you about that. And so you pray right then. That was the second one. Or you say, well, I used to struggle with that a lot, or this has been really helpful to me. And you are building up your brother or your sister in Christ, and that's making disciples. And then there are more structured ways to go about it. I'm going to meet with somebody and go through the seven lessons in these books. And some of you have taught these in this last year, and some of you have been the student, the follower in these. And this is a great way to do it. There are seven lessons just for starters, and it goes over the gospel and who is God and what is the Bible. And then the next step is this one, the Christian living for starters. There are 2 7-session studies, and you say, I've been saved a long time. I don't need that. It doesn't hurt to be reminded, but my answer to that is, great. Who are you going to go through it with? Because all of us need to have people who are discipling and mentoring us, and all of us need to have somebody in mind, I am discipling that person. For those of us with kids at home, we are parents. Some of you are grandparents. There are people for us to disciple. That's probably your primary ministry of discipleship. But who in our body, who in your neighborhood, who on your job site, who at your school is the Holy Spirit bringing to your mind right now, oh yeah, I should offer to do a Bible study with that person? Again, I'm not saying this is the only way. I'm trying to offer you some tools. And we have a number of these books, and I'd be glad to get more. So that's another idea for you in making disciples. Whom are you discipling? Who is discipling you? And I'm going to ask you to pray about it. And if any names already popped in your mind, write them down right there on that sheet. What about worship? I believe that's another area in which we can learn and grow this year. Worship is an attitude of the heart. I'm praying about this right now, but I think when we finish Revelation, I'm probably going to do a topical sermon on worship. We are working behind the scenes, trying to put together some live worship leading and accompanying. So hopefully you're going to see that this year. But the word worship, most of you know this probably, it comes from the word that means worth-ship. Ascribing to something, giving something what it's worth. You go to a store, and either on the shelf or on the item, it has a price. That's what they believe that that's worth, and they think you're going to pay for it. Sometimes they mark it down, and they think, oh, they're not going to pay that, they'll pay this. So figuring out God is worthy of all praise, all honor, all blessing, those lists that we've seen in Revelation so far. Are we giving him what he is worth, what he is due, his value? That's what worship is. And yes, it includes music, but it's our entire lives. One of the best verses in the Bible about worship is Romans 12:1. Go ahead and open your Bible at Romans 12:1. Another good verse to memorize if you haven't memorized it. There it says, I beseech, or I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I just read you that from the New King James Version. So it says reasonable service. Does anybody here have with you an ESV or an NASB or maybe an NIV? What does it say there? What? Spiritual act of worship. Any others? Spiritual act of worship. So the word worship appears, depending on your translation, in that verse because it's describing presenting my body a living sacrifice. That is spiritual worship. It's giving my entire life. Yes, it's my singing at church. Yes, it's my praying. Yes, it's my giving. Yes, it's my witnessing. It's all of it because it's in my entire life. That is worship. And I believe we, I'm including myself, can learn and grow in this area this year as well. Worship, it is also connected with prayer. And that's where our Tuesday night study is coming in. It's going to show the connection between worship and prayer. What about giving? I've said this before, I'll say it again. Tithing is not expressly commanded in the New Testament. We are New Testament believers. So nowhere in the New Testament are you going to find a command that we are supposed to tithe. What is tithing? Giving 10% of my income. However, it is a principle that we should be giving proportionately. What does that mean? Well, maybe you give 10%, maybe you give 8%, maybe you give 15%. Whatever God leads you to do, please do it. But there are some ways we're supposed to give as New Testament. These are mostly from Corinthians. We're supposed to give regularly. That means don't wait until June. Oh, yeah, I probably should give something to the church, give something to a missionary. We're supposed to do it on a regular basis. We're supposed to give proportionately. So if God blesses you abundantly, financially, then you should give to the church, give to missions, give to the Lord's work in an appropriate manner, sacrificially. We're supposed to give sacrificially. Think of the widow who gave all she had. Does that mean God's going to lead you to do that? No, probably not. But that there is sacrifice involved. We just read your spiritual act of worship, that I've given everything. All of my financial resources belong to God. So I'm recognizing that by giving a portion back to him as he leads and as he allows me to do it. It's supposed to be on purpose. It's supposed to be intentional. And last, it's supposed to be joyful. God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're sitting here thinking, I'm not giving, I'm not going to start that, he just needs to move on to the next one, then please don't. You're disobedient, but please don't do it, because he wants you to do it joyfully. Literally, it's a hilarious giver, somebody who is so blessed and excited to be able to give to God's work, to bless somebody else with resources. That's what it's describing. So in what ways can you learn and grow and even share through giving this year? The next one is bearing witness or evangelism. And I didn't want to put just evangelism, because evangelism, in case that's a new term to you, is to share the good news, to share the gospel with other people. But what we're commanded to do is bear witness. And that's not just to unbelievers. And that's not even just the gospel. In the second half of our service, we are going to give an opportunity for you to bear testimony, to give a testimony of, here's what God's been doing in my life. Here's how God provided for me. Here's how God answered a prayer for me. Here is what God's been doing in my life. And I want to share that with everybody. That's bearing witness. And as you do that in your workplace, as you do that with your neighbor, as you do this with your unsaved friend, that is an opportunity for you to have an influence on them, to bear witness, and yes, hopefully get into a gospel conversation. They go hand in hand. So bearing witness includes what we're going to do in a little while with testimony time. It's speaking up among believers and unbelievers and telling what Jesus has done for you. And then sharing the gospel. Some of you came to our Share Jesus Without Fear. Not the only way to share your faith, but a very good way to do it. Something to try to take the fear out of it. Any plan will help with that. I've shared with you before a missionary friend in Albania. He says that it's a very simple plan. It's pray, meet people, tell them about Jesus. You say, I don't know what to say. There are apps that will help you, and you can just have the person read it. This is very big on having, will you read this verse to me? What does that mean? And then go to the next one. I have some other resources I'm going to just tell you about right now, and I will spend some time on another week telling you more about them to know what's in here. But this is an outreach kit for a conference I went to last year. And in it are engagers. You say, what on earth is that? Some of you who have been around the church longer know them more like a gospel tract. So it's literature. This one says, you are amazing. And you open it up, and these fold out, and it gives some information. It gives some websites, and we have some stickers so that you can also identify them as coming from our church if you're using it more as a church invitation. But it's another way to give out the gospel. From Encounter Life, it's Every Home for Christ is the organization. So this is another tool, trying to put tools in your toolbox so that you can share your faith more easily. There's a lot more to that, but that's all I'm going to tell you about it right now. Are you sharing your faith? Are you willing to speak up and say, I have a praise. I want to tell you, God just answered this prayer for me in your home, here at church, before the service, after the service. Are you doing that? Are you bearing witness for him? Are you sharing the gospel with others? And then last, missions. Again, I don't want to take things for granted. Some of you are newer to church. What is missions? Missions is telling people in other parts of the world the good news of the gospel. It's evangelism in other places. Usually we think of it as foreign missions. It's doing the same thing that we're supposed to be doing here on foreign soil. So we have the Perrys, and they are in Canada, sharing the gospel with other people. And we have a family headed to North Africa. Same thing. We have a family we're already supporting in South Africa. What are they doing? They're doing the same thing you and I are supposed to be doing every day. But they're doing it in a foreign country. And often it is very expensive to do that. And so they come present a ministry to our church. Most of them are being supported by individuals and churches in lots of places. So they come present their work as something called deputation. They're trying to raise funds, raise support to be able to go to the foreign field and meet their living expenses and insurance needs and so on. and various churches take them on for support. We're going to be talking about the remains and voting as a congregation as part of our budget meeting later on to support them. So that's support, just giving money. And then often they'll come home for the field. That's what the remains were doing this summer. They were here on a furlough, a break. Furlough, I think, in our country, if you don't know it in terms of missions, it's kind of a bad thing. I'm being laid off temporarily. No, they're taking some time away from the field in order sometimes to raise additional support, but just to report back to the churches. And you see that model in Acts. As you look at Acts, you will see that the church in Antioch was growing, huge church compared to the others in the area. And they were moved by the Holy Spirit to set apart. The Holy Spirit was doing it, but he was doing it through the congregation. Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas. At that point, it was Barnabas and Saul. And set them apart for me, and I'm going to send them. And so what is missions? Missions is either going, that's what Saul and Barnabas did, or it is sending. And you have a role in missions in one of those ways, either sending or going. And different people do different ones at different times. You may be able to go on a short-term mission trip. That is going. And then within that, you have the opportunity to pray. I hope you are praying for our missionaries. I showed you the prayer sheet has our three missionaries that we support, and there are others that we have prayer cards for and share updates with you. So those are the seven areas. There's much more I could say, but I'm going to be quiet in a moment. But here's what I'd like you to do. Take that sheet. Maybe you've made some notes on it. If there are people that come to mind, jot them down. But I gave you an example on that slide behind me of here's what it could look like. I could be thinking through these and praying through these and thinking, you know what? I really want to learn more about prayer this year. Or I really want to grow in the idea of worship. And probably the last two have to do with sharing, but I said there was overlap. You may think, I want to learn more about missions. I want to learn more about our missionaries and keep up with them and pray with them and know what their needs are and be able to intercede for them. Or you may be thinking, I want to share the gospel more frequently this year. I want to work on that. Whatever it may be, God's going to lead you to do it. These are all spiritual disciplines. These are things that we as Christians should be doing. Even the youngest believers in the room can begin to do some of these things. They can read their Bible. They can pray. They can give. So how is God leading you? That's my question. I don't know. I am not the Holy Spirit. I do not claim to be. But I believe that these are things that God has laid on my heart for us to focus on this year. So you'll hear more about them as we go through the year. Last year we did a four-month learn and then 4 months on grow. I'm going to alternate them each month this year. So we're going to focus on learn this month, and we're going to focus especially on prayer because that's what we're doing on our Tuesday night study. But how is God leading you? You say, I don't know. Well, as you pray and ask him, he's going to show you. As you read the word, he's going to show you. He's going to lay people on your heart. He's going to lay opportunities of giving on your heart. He's going to lay particular people to pray for or to minister to or to share the gospel with on your heart. If you will pray, if you'll ask him, he will show you. So let's go ahead and pray together right now. I'd encourage you, pray for the people God has laid on your heart. Pray for your family. Pray for our missionaries. Pray that God would show you how he wants to use you and how he wants you to learn, grow, and share in this new year of 2022. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have saved us. And that's what we have celebrated these last weeks of the Christmas season, that you came, God with us, Emmanuel, and you came to save us. Your name means the Lord saves. So Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we desire to learn more of you, to know you, to love you better, to praise you better. And we confess, Lord, that we need help with that. We need your grace. We need your Holy Spirit speaking to us. And even beyond that, Lord, you've provided other people in the church other believers to encourage us, others to equip us, to build us up. So, Lord, as we consider how you would have us learn, grow, and share this year, we are looking to you. We are expecting great things from you because you are a great God. You are able to save to the utmost. You are able to deliver your people out of testing, out of trials, even out of temptations. You are faithful. Lord, as we begin this new year, we are so thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, as we continue our study in Revelation, we rejoice that you are going to rescue your people for eternity. We are going to be able to spend eternity with you in heaven. We have the new heaven and new earth to look forward to. We know who wins those final battles. And Lord, we praise you. You are a mighty God. You are the Lord of hosts. Father, we are your servants. We are sinners saved only by grace, only by faith. And you've called us to bear witness for you. So, Lord, please lay on our hearts those with whom you want us to share you and your good news. Lord, may we be faithful to do that in our midst as we have guests come in and visit with us. Help us as parents and grandparents to be faithful in discipling the children you have entrusted to us and in pointing them to you and in sharing the truths of the gospel with them. Lord, we acknowledge together that this is your church. And yet you have placed us in it, and we rejoice in this body of believers that you are the head of. And we look forward to seeing how you will bring glory to yourself, how you will grow our church this year. Lord, we desire to see other people, additional people, saved and discipled and joining this body. But we know that you're the one who does it. And so we pray, we ask, Father, that you would do that. That as we share the gospel with others, as we invite people to join us here, that you would answer those prayers. That we would see people this next year saved, baptized, growing in grace and knowledge of you as a result of what you've used us to do. May we be faithful servants. Help us to do what we cannot do on our own. We acknowledge that we need you. We acknowledge that we need your guidance, your strength, your help, your wisdom. But you don't turn us away when we ask for those things, Lord. You invite us to call on you and to see you do great and mighty things that are beyond what we would think or expect. Lord, we will bring glory to you as we see you answer these requests. May we be faithful to do our part today and throughout this year. In Jesus' name, amen.